sunburned skies and high fields, across the sea, the bright sunshine, in a land of perfect day, where it's never away. Even I understand the friend of mine.
Thank you. Thank you. right for them to think that Amos in chapter 8, that he prophesied that there would come a day where there would be a famine from the hearing of the word. And that day is now because of what Brenham said, it would mean, he said Amos was looking in the United States. Because in the United States, symbolizing the state of really the whole world, people don't know what to believe. They don't know what to believe. People get caught up worshiping the image of the beast, which has the same characteristics as the original beast. It's got the same characteristics. Now think about that. You can identify something by its characteristics. God is identified by his characteristics. And the devil is identified by his characteristics. And so you shouldn't be to think that the whole world is going to be caught up and deceived into worshiping this image of the beast. Now, when I'm talking about layers, I'm saying, look how the devil will actually work. He will actually, in the days of Daniel, he got everybody to worshiping an image. And instead of, okay, well, we believe that there's a prophet, and everybody's sure there's a prophet, so now he sets up an image. And instead of worshiping the real thing, and they're worshiping that image. And you can see even the same thing moving in the ranks of the believers. That now, instead of worshiping Christ, people got caught up in worshiping, getting their minds so much on Brother Branham until they failed to see that the word that he spoke would actually be manifested in the bride, and it would not that Brother Branham would not be, that his ministry would be negated or anything like that. But they failed to understand that the words that he was preaching, the message that he preached, would be so manifest in a bride until it would be the voice of the archangel. And that voice would actually be the signal that the dead in Christ would rise from the grave. Now, that's what I mean when I'm speaking about that the scripture works in layers and things begin to continually unfold. And God gave a fivefold ministry to, like, set up on the wall and to be a warning to the church, a warning to people, to yell and scream and holler so that people would not be deceived. And Brother Brown would say, he'd make the statement when he's preaching the Mark of the Beast and the Seal of God, part two, he'd say that, anything I got respect for is men of God, servants of God. Sometime, if you find the most suspicious people in the world is preachers. And that's why. Suspicious preacher in the world is preachers. And that's right, they're the most suspicious of all of them. But I want to say why. Because they are shepherds. That's right, they're guarding the sheep. See, they got a right to be suspicious and wait and watch. But when you see the world and God working together, that's the time to move in with it. When you see the world and God coming together. Now, what are they suspicious of? They're like watchers on the wall that's watching way out to see what kind of a rider that is coming to the city. And if it's something good, then they'll make an announcement to raise the gate and let it come on in. But if it's something bad, then they'll make the announcement to lower the gate and seal the wall so that the enemy can't come in. And that's what the fivefold ministry is to do. It is to bolster up the believer so that they're not eating a bunch of Doritos and a bunch of things out of a trash can, a bunch of things that are going to make them sick, but so that they're so bolstered up with the Word of God until the blood gets so rich that, like Paul, getting bit by that snake, that something happens and they're just so filled with the Word of God and so filled with the Holy Ghost until their body can be changed. Now that's our goal. But you see, your body won't be changed by eating junk food. Your body will be changed by eating the Word of God. And so Brother Brown would say that, you know, the first thing is to warn the church. That's what the watchman stands on the tower for. I wonder if it gets a moment. Let the words in the right direction. What he says, oh, thank you. That's what the watchman stands on the tower for. When he sees the enemy coming, to warn those that are in the city. And then if the watchman doesn't warn, then listen to this, God will warn you. the ministry does not preach exactly according to the word and stay right with our great shepherd, then your blood will be on our hands. On to think that we're standing in a dangerous place, that we're not just coming to church just to go through the rites and rituals of religion to say that we did it, to say that we've been there, we've done that, we've got the badge, and we've got, like, we went hiking on this trail, and when you get done, they got all the Boy Scout badges laying there where you can get one that says, well, I hiked the trail. Now, that's not what we want church to be like. That after we come to church, we get our little Boy Scout badge, and we sew it onto our clothes, so to speak. But there's blood in there. And like Paul was saying, Acts chapter 20, he said, wherefore I take to you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Think about Paul and all his life labor. And at the end of everything, he said, I've done what God told me to do. I am not sure to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And therefore, because I have declared everything to you, even despite the fact that you hated me, Corinthians in chapter 9, despite the fact that y'all put my head off, despite the fact that I laid my life down, despite the fact that people don't respect you, despite the fact that all those things, I have not shunned to declare the counsel of God, and therefore your blood is not on my hands. Now in you, as we study these things out, you'll find out there are two classes of people. And you can really frame up those two classes of people by looking at the cross standing up there on Golgotha. And there'll be one going to it, and one going away from it. One going to it and saying, I accept the price that you paid for me. I know I'm not worthy in myself, and I want the sacrifice. And then there'll be another that says, despite what you did for me, it's going to be my way or the highway. There's Cain and Abel all over you. Get it? Cain saying, look at all the stuff that I've done. Like the parable of the white throne judgment. Had not preached the gospel. Had not cast out devils. Had not done all these things. Look at all the rites that I've done. All the rituals. Everything that I've done for you. But it don't matter if you don't come to the cross. And all that's a faith now. All that doesn't matter if you don't have a fellowship with the one on the cross. religiously inclined. He loved coming to church and feeling the spirit of the Lord. He knew there was a God, and he believed him. So I made him different from me. Because the same spirit that creeps into the basic ranks today is the same thing that Paul had to deal with when he went to the coast of Ephesus. And he found those people that they were believers. But they didn't. They weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. They were not sealed yet, but yet they were in a church, and they were fellowshipping, and they were worshiping. He would say, like a good Baptist would say, well, what more could Abraham do than believe? Abraham believed that it was imputed unto him for righteousness. I said, that's right, but God gave him the sign of the seal of circumcision that he would recognize him. Abraham believed, and then he was identified. And the identification, like Brother Trevor was preaching on, the identification is not just where you can recite some words after somebody else, but it's the same life living in you, the same characteristics, it's the characteristics, the same fruit, the doctrine is made manifest in your life. And because the doctrine is made manifest in your life, signs and wonders will follow. Because signs and wonders will follow them that believe you gain help, and because you are the living, manifested, interpreted word for your day, and it's going to manifest in your life. It's going to take you from just a carnal, religious, natural man where you know because you've been taught, where you're educated into it, into a living life where Christ has incarnated himself in your life, and he's birthed you into a relationship with him. Now, there's the difference. It's a birth. Paul said to the Ephesians, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Not when you believed. Now, you'll find this is one of the major differentiations between message doctrine and any other denomination. Just about any other denomination. Because you don't get it the moment you say, well, that's good. You don't get it the moment that you turn around and say, I want to go to the cross. That's not when you, just because you recite a little prayer after the preacher or something, that's not when you're born again, but you're born again when Christ takes you through a process of justification, sanctification, and fills you with his life. And they said unto him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. But the Holy Spirit is the seal of God. The seal is the recognition that God has completed and finished his work in you. When God recognized Abraham's faith and he sealed him, and he walked different. He was different. Something was different about him. It was different. Something he was identified differently. It was different. You know, go around with people like this. Now, listen carefully, because this will help you understand what you're going to do with this one. As soon as you believe on the Lord Jesus, it's a person of the Holy Spirit. Now, you think about that foolish person. They get some fire in their room. You're sanctified. Another part of the Holy Spirit cleans you. Because what is it? It's the Holy Spirit doing it. It's the Holy Spirit working. His work is the Holy Spirit that when you're justified, it first grips you and you begin to come with God. And how are you going to come with God if it's not the Holy Spirit? With our hard hearts, our heart of control, I don't want none of that. The Holy Spirit begins to work on you and move on you, and you begin to come to him. And then he begins to clean you out, and it's still the Holy Spirit, but then you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happens then? Then you go to Cain. Now, if you want to know the difference between Cain and Abel, it's all about who your daddy is. Abel knew who his daddy was, who his real daddy was. And the Holy Ghost ties you back. It gives you an identity of who your daddy is. When you can look into the Word and find out your DNA matches up with who your daddy tells you who your daddy is. You don't have to be wondering, like on all those little talk shows that people used to watch back in the day, now we're going to bring out the real daddy, now we're going to have the real DNA test and everything. And I'm saying that to make you laugh, because because you read the stories, but it tells you who your daddy is, and you've got a relationship with your father. Not just a religious, outward, coming to church, a carnal experience, just going through the motions, where everybody looks at you and, boy, you're living a good, real, cool, legalistic life on the outside. But the church will say, I enjoy that message. Where you're just living a good, old, legalistic life on the outside. And a legalist will always go to, I think we'll get on this later in the sermon, a legalist will always go to, look at all these things that I'm doing, why ain't you doing it too? Look at all these book of rules that I'm fulfilling. Why ain't you doing it too? But you know somebody that really comes like Abel does. There ain't nothing I can do. And then you begin to realize there's nothing I can do. All of my righteousness, the best effort that I can do is filthy rags. So I might as well just lay everything down on the cross and let Christ pick it up and make something of it. You know, when Abel came and laid everything down, that pattern was started. Their own life down and said, we're going to stay here until something happens. And they accepted their sacrifice by fire. The Holy Ghost is fire. The Holy Ghost is a consuming fire because it'll consume your past. It'll consume all your wrongs, all your faults. It'll consume all that attitude when you can't forgive and you can't love. It'll consume all of that and replace it with a heart that's really filled with God's righteousness, where a heart that can live like God wants us to live. He said, Cain, I go to church, I help him do everything. We built a nice building, we've done all this, we've done all that and everything. I put it in with his phone, I do all this. There it is, the best thing I can do. Take it and leave it. But God will do it. But think about that. God will do it. He lived a different time. He lived a different time. Jesus told me, make a mistake in John chapter 3. He said, I want to say that just being the first to let Cain come and worship does it come from? Because you know who your daddy is. Your father teaches you lies.
Something that you can build forever. Just like that little story I was sharing last week about
of a miracle-working God. And we've got that promise that the gospel is not just some old dried-up teaching where we've got a whiteboard that we can explain away our heritage, but it's actually the living manifestation of the Word of God in our lives, where God has come down. He come down Himself with a shout and a voice and a trump to give us this Word, to give us this message, a life-changing message. So if we come to church and we don't expect to be changed, we're actually contrary to the Word of the hour. Because this Word was given to change our lives. Like that song that we sing before the minister comes out. Paul would say the gospel come not in word only, but in power, manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And that's the very next word he said. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It's got to make the Word manifest. I wonder tonight, have we gotten away from where we really expect signs and wonders to follow them that believe? Have we gotten away from really expecting God to move in our lives? Where we've got up a sick child, have we gotten away from laying our hands on them and praying? Have we gotten away from praying over our children before they take a test? Have we gotten away from praying that God will find them a spouse or bring home those lost loved ones? Don't ever get away from expecting God to move, because that's the gospel that we preach, is that God is alive and well, and He's not dead, but He's still with us. If the Spirit is in the Word, God in the world. If you abide in me and my word in you and ask what you will, then it will be done to you. Now he's saying if the Spirit is in, if that baptism of the Holy Ghost has been mixed and joined with his word, then it will do what the word says. And there's a promise that if that is true for you, then ask what you will. If you can come to God in confidence, knowing and believing that He's there hearing your petition, and He's there to answer your request, and He's there to fulfill His word if you come with the right motive and the right objective, believing in faith. different things that God has stored up for us in the capstone ministry. To cap us off like he capped off in it, as he seen it walk with God, looking for a like just like Abraham looking for a city to build a faith on his God. Just like Peter said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, add to your faith, add to your works, and keep adding on, because we're going somewhere. And the ones that are sealed are the ones that are sighing and crying. And, you know, Brother Reynolds say that that scripture was fulfilled in the days of Titus when Titus besieged Jerusalem. And you know, you read about the history of how what a horrible thing. I'm about to close. Don't get worried. I know it's Wednesday night. Everybody's young. Everybody's getting tired. And this is a deep message. Hang on just a few more minutes. And you're sealed if you're sighing and crying. To be, in other words, to be so affected by the sin of your world. Now think about the day and the hour that they were living in. That Titus comes riding in, and all of the true Christians of that day, they knew something was afoot. Time to get out. They had already left. They'd already got out of there. But you know, to think that they were concerned about Israel. Those real Christians were concerned. Paul so concerned that all those things that he did to get the gospel, to preach the gospel. But the ones that were left were the ones that had made fun of it. He said they made fun of that real true Pentecostal experience, the real true worshiping of God, the real true entering into a relationship, and they made fun of it until the door was shut and they couldn't get out, until they had ended up eating the grass, pulling their babies alive, pulling their babies, eating the grass, eating the bark off the tree, because they couldn't get out and it was too late. He said, what does the life of that one with the writer's ink more mean? It represents the righteousness of the saints. The seal of God is the Holy Ghost. And outside of that is for the slaughter, the ones on the day of Pentecost that have been sealed in by Christ. But they were left there in Jerusalem, left for the slaughter. I got to read about that. There was up three factions there in that little city. And two of them got to fight one another. They got to murder one another. Now, isn't that the same state? That's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to get everybody fighting within their own ranks, until they're just killing each other. He said they went forth, that early church went forth doing the same signs that he did. They had the power of the Lord. They spoke in tongues. They shouted. There was a mighty rushing wind filled them. And they went forth with such a zeal until they burnt the cities with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They made fun of them. They laughed at them. Watch the scriptures. Watch the promise. Know the hour of his approaching. Those disciples filled with the Holy Ghost, marked with that sign of their foreheads and that seal of God, they began to walk. And when they seen what Jesus said coming to pass, they got out of there. And you know what was their characteristic? They were concerned. Sealed the ones that sighed and cried for the abomination they had seen. The ones looking at that city of Jerusalem thinking, why won't you accept it? Why won't you receive it? Don't you know what's in store for you? And I can't wait to look at this situation of the day. It ought to make anybody that's got any kind of real life within them and have some kind of a desperation to see your family, to see people around. said those Jews, when they seen trouble coming, they said, now, those Jews there in Jerusalem, when they saw the trouble coming, they said, we'll gather into the city, into the house of the Lord and pray. Doesn't that sound very religious, very sweet? Oh, Satan can make it look just so real. But what good is praying do if you don't have a relationship with God? But what good is praying and all that, going through all the religion and all the rites do if you don't have, if you don't know who your daddy is? They didn't know who their daddy was, because their daddy wouldn't save them. The upright, the big churches, the organizations, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians, and all those, they said, he's Beelzebub, but they had to answer something. They had to tell their congregation. So they said, he's of the devil. Now bear that in mind. They were religious men, holy men, godly men. As far as the world was concerned, one sin against it, they would be stoned. And Jesus said, said the first gift of that sound of the trumpet of God had the everlasting gospel to preach to all the world. The second angel kind of preached on only this gospel because he said that the church had committed fornication. And the third angel wore out to escape the mark of the beast. That's the very message today. The third angel, the third message, the last message, the Lutheran message of justification, the Wesleyan message of sanctification, and the Pentecostal message of the sealed door of escape, the mark of the beast, combined with the walls of Babylon, be sealed into the kingdom of God. Because what's next? Armageddon. I think America's coming back, and it's going to be some great revival, some great return back to the way that we used to be. But he said, what's next? It is Armageddon. The church has been gone, and after the third angel's message, 1, 2, 3 messages, the church is gone. Then Armageddon. Do y'all agree with me? Well, this hurts my feelings. Well, if you're going to hurt some feelings, it's time to examine. I'm sorry, but listen, the Bible ministry is supposed to be a walk from the Lord. And sometimes this gospel might hurt a little bit, and it might shake us a little bit, to shake us at our roots, but yet the Word of God is still true. And you see, the Bible ministry doesn't care whether you agree, whether you like them, whether you stroke them on the back, whether you give them head pats. They're going to preach the truth, whether you like it or not. They're going to preach it one way or another. And in Revelation chapter 7 says that the four angels stood on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. In other words, holding the four divine judgments of God back until the 144,000 could be sealed by the seal of the living God. Oh, to think that global destruction is restricted until the 144,000 are sealed. The bride's got to go up before the devil could come down. And the devil ain't going to destroy anything until the 144,000 are sealed. Now, aren't you glad of that tonight? To be able to see the great plan of God, that they're standing there holding back the four winds of judgment. The four winds of divine judgment. Because the 144,000 are not sealed. Now, this is where I'm closing. Joel chapter 2, verse 23 and 25, the scripture that we read so often. Be glad, then, you children of Zion. This is talking about a tree that we can see our own selves in because the Gentile dispensation was grafted into this fig tree. But the overarching plan is as a fig tree. But when it begins to perform its buds, then you know you better get right with God. Be glad, then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you his former rain. Moderately, and he will cause to come down to you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain of the first month. You children of Zion, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, the caterpillar, and the caterpillar, and the pongworm, and the caterpillar, and the pongworm, my great army, which I've sent among you. And don't really compare that scripture with Matthew 24, when Jesus expanded his disciples there on April 4th, that Tuesday, and A.D. 30, when he was sitting there on the Mount of Olives, and he related to them all the questions that they were answering. When they said, when is it going to be the end? What's going to happen? What's going to happen next? And he said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is coming. So likewise, ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He said, what the generation that sees Israel becoming a nation, that generation will not pass until all be fulfilled. Now, if you want to see what day of the month it is, look on the calendar and say, if you want to see what day in the season it is of the coming of the Lord, watch where Israel's sitting. That's God's timepiece as the magicians come forward. There she is sitting in her homeland. Now, she's been sitting in her homeland for a long, long there's only one thing to do is to stand on your feet. This world is not my home. We're going somewhere. The seal of